Welcome to Leadership Level Up. I'm Brian Prairie.
And I'm Dr. Jeff Williamson.
I am just starting my leadership journey.
And I've been guiding leaders for 30 years.
Our podcast aims to shine a spotlight on outstanding leaders and provide a platform for them to describe their leadership journey and share the guiding principles that have helped them become great leaders.
Welcome to Leadership Level Up Podcast. I'm Jeff Williamson, your host. My co-host, Brian Prairie, is with me, and we are talking to leaders about their journey as we grow in our leadership journey. Today, we have Jake Lamore with us, who you will get to know a little bit more as we talk through our conversation. Jake's no stranger to podcasts. We'll talk about that later on, but great to have you with us. Sometimes I get to hear you because you're in radio, and I'll be driving across the county and kind of go, hey, that's Jake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we're excited to hear about your journey, both with radio and media and how that passion started in you, and then some applications to what's that look like as a leader or an influencer in your company at the stations where you work. So that's some of the stuff we'll tag you on, but thanks for coming. It's good to have you with us.
No, thanks for being here. It's an honor because I feel like the leaders that you have on the podcast, I feel like I don't compare to them. So to have me looped in with them is quite an honor. So.
Well, one of the beauties for me of leadership is that there isn't one style or one cookie cutter form. It's that leadership can come in all kinds of ways and looks different in different settings. And so, yeah, I hear you, but it's like, nah, you're not less than. We're not going to let you do that.
I appreciate that. And I like what you guys are doing with this podcast and how you're kind of getting away from that stereotypical what a leader is and what leadership is, and kind of breaking down and being like, well, actually, there's all these different types of leadership. It's not just this is leadership and that's it. There's all these other variations, all these other, I guess you could say, genres or shades of gray, however you want to, you know, reference that.
Doesn't have to look like one thing.
No, The birth of this was Jeff was giving me some mentoring, and on kind of one of our last kind of sessions, he said, "Brian, what do you want to do to keep growing in your leadership?" And I said, "I want to talk to other leaders. I want to have lunch with them, or go to get a coffee or something." And then something that we found out in our sessions is I'm a thinker. So it took me like a day to kind of come up with this whole thing. I'm like, well, why don't we just do a podcast? Like, let's talk to leaders that way and then give them a platform to talk to us as well. And we can all learn from each other. So that was the genesis of it. And that's the thing that I found is there's been so many different types of leaderships, ways to lead, and that's exciting to me because I, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, if I would have been in the position I am today, I'd have been like, you're insane. No, that's crazy talk. Like, I don't think that I would be, you know, in the position I am. So, but to see just like you said, all the, you know, the different, you know, ways people lead, it's really cool. And yeah, you are a leader. You are a leader of our community.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I feel like leaders also have really great haircuts, and you always have the best haircut. You and even Jeff, like, you guys are always, and I'm like, I need to step up my haircut game and get over to.
Like, I'm just happy to have hair at this point. So I'm not too hung up on.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
One of the things talking about leadership, I've quoted before in conversations with others on the show, is that years ago, I read a book by Parker Palmer called The Courage to Teach. And he was speaking in the context of being, you know, university classroom professor, that type of thing. And he said, we teach who we are. And I've kind of taken that on my own.
Oh, man.
And I think we lead in a way that's true to ourselves, or we lead who we are. So that's where I've, even in my own journey, discovered I don't need to look like my last boss. And there was a time where I thought, maybe I did, right? To like, oh, I think success looks like that, or I think leadership looks like that.
Because that's what your leader had taught you or shown you.
Right.
Man, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But then realizing we lead who we are, or we teach who we are, it's like, that changed everything for me, because it was like the context is teaching, but the content is, what do I bring? What does Jake bring to a conversation, to a show, to a podcast, to an interaction with an employee? That was a game changer for me, when it was like, that comes from within me, not me imitating or emulating other people. Yes, we see things and go, oh, I like that. I think I want to do that as a leader. But when we really can step into our authentic selves and still, you know, be directing, influencing, guiding, that's cool. But when it's totally you, that's when it's powerful to me.
Absolutely. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so speaking of that, who are some of the, leaders or mentors that, help guide you to, where you're at today?
There's so many, and I will say that one of them was, and I've thought about this recently, is just because he passed away within the last year, his name was Dick Balgaman, and he was the reason I started volunteering at the cable access channel in Manteno at 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
That's something that doesn't happen, right? You don't have a 10-year-old kid.
Like, hey, let's bring him on.
Yeah, right? And I mean, granted, it's not NBC network or anything. It's not network. It's just a TV cable community access. It's a place to start. But still, like, usually it's not like, hey, let's let this 10-year-old kid try this out. So the fact that he took me seriously in my passion for old movies and just cameras and all that in general, he's like, okay, let's check this guy out. So, you know, like sitting in on these TV Manteno TV 10, or I can't remember if it was channel 10 or channel 4 at the time, because it had switched. Mm-hmm. I think originally it was channel 10 and then it became channel 4. So sitting in on those meetings where, you know, I'm 10, and then like the oldest person, most of the other people in the room are in like their 60s and 70s. It was just wild. But it was really cool. And so that's one of, I can think of my earlier mentors. And then even before that, just like in your family, right? I mean, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles are also kind of like your mentors. So like, I remember my grandpa Weber gave me one of his old 35 millimeter cameras.
Very cool.
Oh, nice.
And it was an Argus. And you know, I had never, of course I had used an old 35 millimeter, still shot camera, but this, it was not automatic. You had to do everything, right? You had to focus it. You had to, reel the film when you needed to go to the next.
Yeah.
So learning all of that was really cool.
And I think that speaks to the heart of leadership, because for someone to see a young 10-year-old who was excited and interested and passionate about that, and to bring them in really as a mentoring, let me show you this, to me, that's one of the best expressions of leadership, is that gentleman was able to say, hey, this kid's really excited about this. And one of these days when I'm not around, God bless him, he might want to be doing some things like this. And so to me, that's part of it, is seeing someone, period, but seeing them in light of the art or the craft that they're passionate about, and then handing that to them and bringing them along. To me, that's modeling leadership, for him to bring you into those settings and those realities to kind of go, wow, what am I doing here? But this is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's almost like getting past the age, or a person's age, or a person's income, or whatever kind of background they have.
He removed obstacles.
Let's say, maybe I come from a family that is full of, bad people per se, or so, what I mean? Like, he, and I know he probably would have seen past that and been like, I'm going to
I still see you.
I still see, you know, just kind of peeling away all those other things that we as people normally see on the outside.
Yeah.
Looking more on the inside and seeing the possibilities of what that person could be capable of.
So that is something that I've realized on my leadership journey is passion has no age. Like we've had interns that have been in college. We've had interns that have been in high school, and I was a little hesitant with the high school ones because it's like, I don't know if they're going to, but you can just tell, like, when you start talking to them about it, they just light up and you're like, oh yeah, you got it. And you're right. Like, I didn't realize that at first because I was, you know, I was stereotyping, oh, high school kid. Like,
you're right. What's a high school kid going to do?
Yeah. But no, like he was super into it. And it was so cool just to see him light up with any of the projects that we were working on. So, I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, like when somebody's interested in it and really passionate about it, they just want to know, they just want to learn.
Yeah. And that's what matters most, right? Is the passion, whether they actually have the knowledge at that point is almost irrelevant, because if they have the drive and the passion for it, they're going to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. and that's something I noticed too, when I was coming up, is that if you're willing to do the work, the person that is teaching you is willing to, you know, bestow that knowledge onto you, because they're like, oh, like, you know, tech nerds, audio nerds, video nerds, whatever, like we want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're excited to talk about it. So that's that for me. That was like, oh, okay, I realized that right away. I'm like, if I do some of the grunt work, they're willing to teach me how to work this piece of equipment, or work, you know, do this thing, or how does this work. And that's what, how I wanted to lead too. I was like, I want to be able to, you know, pass this knowledge along to whoever is willing to listen.
Which you do that almost every time I see you, because almost every time I see you, I'm asking you a video question. Like, I was literally asking you about lights before we started recording this.
It's just my nature.
Just every time I say, I'm like, you know, Brian knows his stuff. Like, and because I'm the audio nerd, you're the video nerd. Yes, so yes, like, my video skills are on the more the lacking end of things, so I'm always trying to see what I can do to step those up.
Like I said, I love talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think that the passion that we're talking about, that's kind of the it factor in a lot of different ways. When we see someone is really excited about a content or a project or a product or a profession that we love, I think 99 times out of 100, someone's not going to turn the wheel. Come back to me in 10 years, kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, right. That wasn't what happened. But it was like, he really has a spark for this stuff. And I think I'll show him the ropes a little bit and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And that's leading. Leading isn't tap, tap on the table and everyone, and give me your attention.
Right.
It's just saying, hey, come over here. I want to show you something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll show you something else. Oh, you like, you know, you learned that. Let me show you something else. That's really leading more than here's your list, go do it.
Right. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I've been trying to definitely keep in mind as I'm working with interns now, with some of the work I'm doing, and just it's trying to find that balance of between like teaching, but also giving direction, but also being open to whatever they're wanting to add to it, you know? But also I struggle between being too hands off and then like too hands on, because obviously you don't want to do too much of one or the other, right? You don't want to micromanage, but you also don't want to just sit back and do nothing.
I'm out here on my own. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. So right. It's
that,
like,
can be a delicate balance.
And that's what I'm finding right now, is like trying to figure out how I am not one or the other, where I'm somewhere in the middle.
Right.
So that's where I struggle
with
leading.
And I think in times where we feel that way, most people will tell us, if we ask them, to say, hey, I'm wanting to give you some space to do creative work, but I don't want you to feel left out in the cold either. How are we doing?
Yeah.
How am I, you know, do you need more? You feel like you need more direction, or you building your confidence and you need a little more space maybe. And I think a lot of times people will have a pretty good feel to go, well, I'm getting more confident, but I like that you kind of are nearby telling me how to do things. So sometimes it's just asking and we can forget that too.
Yeah.
That's the huge, I think that was one of the things that I struggled with too. The same, like as a, you know, as a solopreneur for a very long time, it's hard to unravel yourself from all of the things that you do. And you're just like, well, I need this one done, but I'm like, how do I get myself out of this? And that was something that in doing all of this and working with Jeff is that was realizing that, you know, really just communicate what you need, and then make sure you're open to their communication as well. Cause everybody's kind of at a different place. So you got to kind of meet them where they're at. So some people are going to need more hands-on and some people are going to need a little bit more hands-off. And that just constantly is a changing thing for me to get comfortable with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Communicating, that's a big thing for me too, because I have a hard time putting into words what my brain is actually thinking. It's so hard for me to get that across. And that's not just in the... In the creative world, it's literally just my life, just explaining like to my fiance, like how I feel about something. It's just like, it's hard to put into words for me how, like, sometimes I'm just like, I have no idea what to say exactly what I'm thinking right now. So
yeah,
I come across that as well. So
I think that's part of the human condition. Sometimes we have situations or circumstances, whether they're glorious and wonderful or heartbreaking and sad, where we're frozen even. We're just like, I don't even know how to articulate what I'm feeling, right? And that's a tough place when you are in leadership and you're wanting to maybe pass something off. But, you know, I think all of us as leaders at times will go, oh, I'll just do it. It's faster if I do it.
It'd be faster. It would be exactly what I want. Right. And that's a big thing that I struggle with, is passing things off.
Right.
I know I get that from my father, and I get it from his father, is doing things yourself and not having the confidence, I guess. The part of the confidence, and also just letting someone give them the opportunity to do it, because you're like, well, they're not going to be able to do it right. And so that's another thing that I have a hard time, is just letting go of those things and just realizing that, okay, yeah, maybe the first however many times it's not going to be exactly how I wanted it, but that's okay. So I really have that constant battle in my brain right now of almost like unlearning what I witnessed in my, you know, all my early years as a kid, as a teenager, just that. Because like, for instance, I would do a chore for my grandfather.
He'd be like, no,
on the
no.
farm. Yeah. You do the chore, you complete it and everything. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you're leaving for the day, and then you see that he's getting the paint bucket and the paintbrush back out, and he's just going to go ahead and redo. And I'm just,
What did you wrong?
What just happened?
Yeah. So
sometimes we have to learn, when we say, I'll do it right, is that there's more than one right.
There's that too.
Yeah.
And I know at times, as Brian and I are in group conversations where we're talking about scaling our businesses and what that might look like, is we have to remember that, to say, I know he's the best at this. I know he could do it faster, but the time is coming that we have to hand things off, because we can't scale, we can't grow and be an efficient organization if I've got my fingers in every little pie and try to go, just move, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, there becomes a time that will be debilitating to a team and an organization. And so that's the flip side of move, I'll do it. Right. Like, well, there's more than one version of right, because we can gravitate to right being just like my comfortable, sequential, logical way to me that I did this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something, you're right. That was something that I definitely struggled with. And to Jake's point, is you have to kind of you have to kind of like there, you know, there are ways, you know, there are ways to properly record something. There's, you know, it's not true. It's, you know, that's not flexible. But how, you know, how they get there or, you know, what the story they're developing. Because that's the thing, too, is like, at first I thought I wanted just clones of Brian. And then I was like, no, that's not really helpful. Because then it's just everything is being copied. It's just being copied. Like,
yeah.
The beauty of working collaboratively is Jeff's brain's working on something, your brain's working on something, and everybody else has something to offer to that. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, I need to get them to a certain point. And then I can kind of, you know, just like, oh. Yeah. And then kind of, and what was cool in a meeting I just had with our video team, I just posed some questions. And then what came out of that, I was just like, it was kind of like, oh, that was so cool. It worked so well.
Yeah.
It was just really exciting. Like, oh, and they just kind of took it, you know? So I'm like, and that's what I want. And basically, you know, have the confidence, you know, if they need some technical guidance, yeah, of course. But when it comes to the creative part and, you know, building it, then that's when I learned to like, okay, I can be a little bit more hands off with this, because Brian's way isn't always the right way, and having other people think about it is actually better for the product, the end product.
And knowing which is which sometimes too,
yeah,
is
a challenge too.
To guy, you know,
yeah,
you're right. In technical space and certain things like that, it's like, no, it really has to be done that way, or it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Like resolution, for instance, like you have to have, you can't just say, I'm going to, you know, shoot this. And what is the standard? What's the 640 is what?
So 1080p is HD, and is, 640 is like,
that's like standard
def. Yeah.
So, something like that. You know,
4K.
Like,
So there's all sorts.
Yeah. You're not going to be like, I'm going to shoot this in 640 and then we're going to play it back on a 4K screen.
It'll be whatever. It'll work out.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
So obviously there's things like that where there's a definite, this is the right way to do things.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to like, well, maybe the way we shoot this is a little like the angles, right?
Yes.
That's probably where it gets a little hairy or a little gray, as with angles per se.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, everybody has their preference. So it's, you know, kind of imparting that knowledge onto them, but letting them, you know, make their own decisions in that. And then sometimes like, oh man, I would have never thought of that. And that's when it's like, oh, that's the beauty. Like, that's just like, oh man, that's that. Oh, that works so well.
And sometimes it's giving that maybe less experienced person who's capable, but they're just less experienced, is giving them the space and the time to learn that or to get more comfortable with that, so that they do reach a point where it's like, whether Brian's doing it or somebody else is doing it, it's going to be fine, because they've been enabled and allowed to do that thing and get better at it.
Yeah, and that's another thing I've been battling back and forth in my mind with the few interns I've worked with. It's like, I have to remember that I'm not actually doing them any favors in the internship if I'm not letting them go through the process of
and the struggle
letting them do like the whole project, instead of maybe just, I'm just going to give them this part because I know I like the way they do that. Like, but instead it actually would be doing me a bigger favor if I said, okay, I'm going to give them the whole episode of Kankakee podcast to edit instead of just this particular piece of it. Because it would really be helpful if they just did the whole thing and I didn't even have to touch it, right?
Yeah.
That's really what should be happening, because I need to be doing other things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's that control person in my brain that's like, no.
It's your baby.
It's like, no, you gotta do the majority of this, and then you can give him this piece too.
Right. Yeah. But giving them the knowledge of like, here's how to, you know, whether to lay it out or to kind of piece it together, you know, that's good. But then letting them just kind of, you know, bring the story together, you know, that's when the magic and the beauty happens. So talking about Kankakee podcast, let's talk about Kankakee podcast.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
How did it start? What? Because we talked a little bit about your past and how you were in. With the Mantino Public Access TV, mm-hmm. and so how did you get to radio.
Yeah, right? I should probably start from there. So yeah, my first media experience was, you know, working at the Public Access Channel in Manteno. And then when I became a teenager, I was starting to get more interested in music because of my older brother's influence. I mean, you know, punk rock looks so cool when you're 13 years old. I mean, yeah. It's still cool in my eyes, but especially when you're 13, you're just like, whoa, that is like, he's just yelling in that microphone and playing this distorted guitar. And he's got, you know, like the messiest hair I've ever seen in my life. And he's just having the best time of his life up there. So I was very impressed with that. And that I really soaked that into my skin. So in my teenage years and in my early 20s, I really focused more heavily on music. And I did some, you know, I did acting in high school, but, you know, it's more along the lines of that, not so much media. But then I started to get burnt out in my early to mid 20s of music and trying to pursue that as a career. And I always had in the back of my mind of, well, maybe I'll do radio if this doesn't work out. And well, I came to that point where I was completely burnt out, probably because I couldn't delegate other tasks to other band members because I couldn't let go of my baby.
Oh, there's that control thing.
So yeah. I burnt myself out. Mm-hmm. I just burned myself to the ground. So I pursued radio in 2014. I was 24. I went to the Illinois Center for Broadcasting, which is now Illinois Media School. And that's just kind of like a one-year program. They walk you through all the different facets of media, whether it's video, radio, internet, all that stuff.
Cool.
And so I knew I wanted to do radio. That was my thing I was most interested in. And I needed to get experience behind the mic in order to probably land a job on air at a radio station. So my instructor, who is one of my best friends to this day, his name is Don Geisinger. He was my first instructor at that school. And he himself was doing a podcast with one of his best friends at that time. And he's like, well, why don't you just start a podcast to get that experience talking into a microphone? And I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I started podcasting then, and you know, I started a couple internships, one of them being at Milner Media in Bourbonnais, which owns the Valley, River Country, and WFAV. KCC used to have a radio station. I was interning there when they had theirs. So I was doing those two internships. Eventually, I was 2 or 3 months into my internship at Milner Media, a spot opened up on River Country and it was hosting middays. And they asked me if I was interested in auditioning. And I said, yes, absolutely. I'm more than interested. So they let me audition for 2 weeks. I still sounded horrible, but they said, and this is exactly what my boss at the time said. He said, you still don't sound good, but we think you're going to get better.
It's all the talent.
Right. So, because obviously I had very little experience. I had only been podcasting for just a couple months. And obviously podcasting is a little different because you're recording. You're not,
right.
You don't have a live mic in front of you. That's a completely different animal, is having a live mic. And you immediately put that thought into your brain, like, wow, like 20, 30,000 people are listening to me right now. Okay, let me freak out about that for a minute. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I'm totally frozen. What do I say? So fast forward, you know, that was my first on-air job on radio. And then from there, I went to various other roles at Milner Media. I'm still there part-time. And then in 2019, I think is when I started to kind of have the idea. And I should say, during that whole time, from 2014 on, while working for Milner Media in radio, I was still podcasting as well.
Okay.
So I was still doing that, I had various different shows over the years. The one that stuck the longest was called Pop Punk and Pizza.
And love the alliteration.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it just kind of worked. It was literally putting those two stereotypes together, because pop punk bands are known to just love pizza. Okay. And I fit into that stereotype because I was in a pop punk band and I also was obsessed with pizza. So the two things just went so well together.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was doing that while I was doing radio. But then as I was getting, you know, the big thing that Milner Media taught me, and, you know, Tim Milner and his whole family, was community was so important. Being involved with community and getting the word out about community events was just so important. Kind of like going back to the public access days, that was so important too. And so and with the way, you know, podcasting was continuing to just blow up, just explosively grow. Mm-hmm. And I thought, there had been some local podcasts, but I thought I could put my hat into the ring and the whole doing a locally focused Kankakee area podcast. And so that idea started coming in my mind. I think it was right around 2019. And then it was by sometime in 2020 or 2021, I was like, you know what? I'm doing this. I put some feelers out there on Facebook. I asked some people, like, what would you think of this?
Sure.
Would you be into a podcast about the people and places of Kankakee County? And they're like, yeah, that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, and it officially launched in May of 2021, and we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
That's terrific. That's
thank awesome. You.
So in a future episode, because our time always goes quickly.
Yes, it does.
We definitely want you to tell us more about Kankakee Podcast, because your podcasting back a few years ago is really what led to that. So we'll definitely plan to have you back and have that conversation
awesome.
Sooner than later.
I would love that. I would be honored to share more about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll look forward to the next conversation we can have together on the Leadership Level Up podcast.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Leadership Level Up. Please subscribe so you don't miss future conversations with great leaders.
Also, be sure to follow Converge on LinkedIn, Facebook, and @ Converge Group LLC on Instagram.